Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
Well, well, hello everyone once again. We are right here back at it at the Praise Tabernacle Tuesday night Bible study. I'm your host, Elder Richard Lee Taylor IV, and along with our esteemed panel tonight, I believe we have Elder Bluett, Evangelist Ricky Bluett, Evangelist Stanton, and our minister for tonight is also on, and on Elder Oliver. We just want to welcome everyone that's listening again tonight for another Tuesday night Bible study. And like I said before, with Praise Tabernacle, where our pastor is Bishop Omar Zachary and his wife, Lady Zachary, are the leaders of Praise Tabernacle Church. And we just want to say thank you for tuning in tonight. We have a great speaker tonight, one of our very own speakers, one of our very own ministers, who is, I tell this young man, I'm so proud of him all the time. I believe Elder Bluett nicknamed him Young Timothy, affectionately, and we just love what the Lord is doing for him and his family, and his life. He's a very detailed speaker, and we just want to let you know that Minister Tobin will be your speaker tonight. And once I finish our little brief prayer, Minister Tobin, it will be in your hands, sir. The Lord, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor, Lord God. We magnify your holy name. We thank you for who you are, Lord God. We thank you for another night, Lord God. We pray that you would touch our speaker tonight, that your word would have free course tonight, Lord God, and that someone will get a nugget from the word tonight, Lord God, someone that will get something that will cause them to continue to press on in who you are and what you are, Lord God. We just love you, Lord God, and we pray that you just have your way tonight, Jesus. And all these things we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Minister Tober is in your hands, sir.
All right. Thank you, Elder Taylor. Thank you for that intro. Thank you for that prayer. Thank you for everyone that's listening on today. You all could have been doing a whole lot of things. A lot of us sure have busy schedules, but definitely excited to give a word on today. Hope and pray that everyone gets something from it on tonight. We'll be coming from John 15. It's John chapter 15, starting at verse 18, going to 25. So not a whole lot of scriptures. John 15, starting at verse 18, going to 25. And before we get into the lesson, I just want to say that I also appreciate last week's lesson. with Evangelist Stanton. She did such a good job. And her lesson was about forgiveness. And I tell you, we have an opportunity, you know, sometimes to basically put our faith at test and practice what we preach. So, for example, when she was talking about forgiveness, things of that nature, I received a text that I took kind of at an angle. I didn't know how to take it, so I said, you know what, I'm in the middle of Bible study. I'm not going to look at that text the way that it is. I said, I'm going to call the person. We're going to talk about it. We're going to see what's going on. We're going to clear the air. And lo and behold, called the person, tried to clear the air, and it didn't go the way that I planned. It actually ended up going completely left. And I tried to defuse the situation, tried to get things to calm down, but it just wasn't happening. So that was a moment afterwards where some things were said on the other end that kind of took things out of context, took things to another level. And that's where the part comes in as to where I had to be at test at that moment. I had to, okay, practice what we preach at that moment. And at that time, I was in my feelings and angry and stuff like that. But a week passed by, and after hearing that, having that text, I also got a text today, same person, but this time, basically apologizing and saying, you know, I didn't mean to say what I said, but they took it too far. So I replied, I can forgive you and things of that nature. I said, you know, but because of God I have, the Lord and Savior that I have is powerful, and he can dig down within me to give you that forgiveness. I said, but, you know, there's things that are going to be different. We can't be friends like that, but I can forgive you. I'll pray for your success and everything. But that moment led to where I'm at today with this lesson, because I didn't understand where all of that came from. I didn't understand where the hate came from. So we're teaching from the topic of understanding the hate. And this right here gave me the perfect answer to why it happened. Verse 18, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. The different things that we go through, like all the persecution that we face, all of it comes with the territory of being a Christian. But we have to know and realize that before us, Jesus went through all of it already. And if they did it to Jesus, then who are we? We are not more special than he is. So we're not going to skip the persecution stage that comes with being a Christian. We just have to remember that we can make it through it. We got to have a made up mind that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So we just have to understand why we're going through what we're going through. Verse 18 to 19. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. For me, this verse shows a before and after effect. And what I mean by that is, before being a Christian, you were being in the world, and, you know, I had more friends and I had less issues with random hate towards me. And this is why, because the world loves its own kind. See, the world ain't having a problem with itself. The world ain't hating on the world. World hating on Christians. After becoming a Christian, I lost friends. I got random hate. Had so-called friends show their true colors and switch up. But I've experienced different levels of persecution, and it hasn't been easy, but God brought me through it all. And this explains where all the hate comes from, because the world hates you because you are no longer a part of the world, because you are not doing accordingly to the world, and the world shows that hate towards you. Any questions or comments on that from the panel?
That's good so far.
Okay. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Jesus begins this verse by reminding the disciples of what he did back in John 13 and 16. It's pretty much a verse that has a cross reference. When Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, they didn't understand why Jesus was doing this, being their Lord and Savior. But Jesus explained it to them. He said to them, you call me Master and Lord. I am your Master and Lord. And he washed their feet as an example of what we should do for each other. Meaning that if Jesus can do this for them, then they can do this for each other. Because if the Lord can do it, then surely the servant, which isn't above his Lord, can do it as well. Also, if they did it to Jesus, if we look back on at what they're saying on verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. That's where it comes in. If they did it to Jesus, they'll do it to us, because we aren't above Jesus. So we're not going to escape that same persecution that he did. If the Pharisees and Sadducees persecuted Jesus, then you already know that persecution is coming our way too. We may not know exactly what manner or what way that is coming, but we can rest assured that it's coming. And now we know why, because we now understand the reason for the hate. The reason for the hate is just that separation, because we have been chosen and been pulled out of the world. That's the reason. That's what Jesus is explaining throughout these verses. And that helps me to understand what we go through, because you can always have that moment of, Lord, why me? Lord, what did I do? Especially if you know that all you may do is, hey, I just go to work. I praise the Lord. I give my offering, give my time, I give God my time. I do things of that nature, but out of nowhere, just something random happened, right? Where this kind of explains why that happens. Any comments from the panel?
You're doing a great job, Minister Tolbert. What you said in the beginning, we are tested with the word and to see, okay, how are we going to do with this test? And like you said,
right,
you know, you had that situation to go on. And, you know, it came to you, okay, this is a test. But it also bothered you, you know, because maybe this was a good friend, a family member, whatever it was. And it bothered you.
Yes.
Because you're like, why, you know, such hate? But as you're saying in the word, verse 18, the world hates you. Know that it hated me before it hated you. And Jesus give us the example of how we should still walk it out, which is in love.
Yes.
And a lot of times that is easier to say than actually do. You know, and you came up with the idea, okay, yes, I can forgive you, but I think now we're going to maybe have to put up a little boundary with our friendship, you know. I'm still here, still praying for you. Yes, I love you.
Right.
I'm praying that God still keep you and bless you, but we have a boundary with our friendship because, you know, you took it a little bit too far. So the word is there to remind us if Jesus can walk this out, we can too. We can
too. Exactly.
We can walk in that love. We can walk in that forgiveness. Like I said, it may not be easy. It may be difficult. Sometimes we have to practice it, whether we have to continue just to say it, you know, over and over again within ourselves or, you know, hear it, because faith coming by hearing. And sometimes we probably have to say it out loud, you know, I forgive you, I still love you. You know, God, let me love, let me forgive, you know, let me let it go until we do it. But we've got to walk in that love. So thank you for this on tonight.
Thank you for your comment. And just to add to what you were saying, yes, it was a close friend, someone I've known, you know, since teenage years, to add context to it. And the reason why I didn't go into more exactly what was said, because that's how bad it was, what was said, that I don't want to talk about it because that'll bring me back to that point. And now that, you know, when I sent that text message and God released me from it, I don't really want to go back to it because that'll bring up that flesh. And I don't want to allow the flesh to win. And it's harder to do to take the high road. I wasn't on the high road last week. I wasn't on the high road up until probably today, in all honesty, just to get through it because that's how bad it was, you know. But I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Regardless of how bad it was, regardless of how long it, you know, it took for me to get past it, that's where that forgiveness came. And that was a reminder and a test through your word on last week. Your word got me through that test as well, through the power of the Lord. But I just thank you for that, Evangelist Stan. Any other comments?
Yes, I just got back on. I'm not sure what was said, but that's where the measures come in. Everybody has their own measure, and you're being measured every time you pass a test. Your measure is getting stronger and stronger. So where you fell short last week, you won't fall short again because now you know. And that's why we have to stay straight up. We will be. How can we keep? If you keep practicing something like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, you will get better at it. But
right.
A lot of times we don't want to go through something to practice it, or we don't want, you know, things to happen so we can get practice. How can we get practice if we never test it? So we're going to be tested, but don't fall short in the same area you fell short before.
That's right. Thank you, Evangelist Blue.
Another thing, when you're going through something, Minister Tolbert, it should really elevate your faith, and it's a test to get you to help get you to the next level, you know, because I believe that's one of the reasons why these things come, Just like we talked about a few weeks ago, can Jesus trust you with trouble? You know, how we deal with it, how we deal with different things that come in and out of our lives. Can we learn from it? Can we grow from it? Can we go to the next level? And what you dealt with, you know, should have helped you to recognize where you are in Jesus and how you can learn from this situation and how you handled it, you know. So and then so if it ever comes up again, you know exactly what to do through the eyes of the Lord and as a man of God. So
agreed.
It's a learning experience.
Agreed.
It's a learning experience, and it teaches us, not just you, but all saints of God all over the world that love Jesus, that living for him as our Lord and Savior. And then that's kind of like what he did with the disciples. You know, they had to learn, you know, and that's what we're doing, you know. And this, as because the scripture tells us that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. So we deal with things different than how the world deals with things because of who Jesus Christ is in our lives.
That's right. That's right, Elder Taylor. That was spot on. Definitely appreciate the comment. And I will go from 20 to 21. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Powerful statement. Jesus is talking about the ones that persecute us and don't have a relationship with God.
That's right.
They are still of the world and still act according to the world. They are led by the flesh and act according to the flesh. But for us that operate in the spirit, there's a difference. See, we may know that the flesh can act up, but for us, we have the Holy Spirit to help us not be like those in the world. The flesh, for example, says, yes, let's destroy, let's bite and devour. But the spirit says, no, let's support and uplift others. So therefore, we should always want to live according to the spirit and allow the spirit to take care of it, allow the spirit to take over. Anything on that before I move on?
No.
All right, verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Jesus is telling the disciples, if he didn't come and speak or preach to these folks about their sin, they wouldn't have known about their sin. But now that Jesus has come, there is no excuse for their sin at all. Once Jesus had told them about themselves, there ain't no more excuses. Because now it's time for a change. And since you know better, now by knowing better, we should do better.
That's
so
right.
With that scripture, that's more of a standpoint for everyone. Basically, we know what we should and shouldn't do. Now there's no more excuses. Ever since Jesus came, of course, to nail those sins on the cross and to point out sin, we know what we should and shouldn't do. So now we just have to be more Christ-like and follow Jesus.
Amen.
Verse 23 to 24. Was somebody about to say something?
Hey, Mr. Tobe, I got one thing. Great job so far.
Yes,
great job.
Thank you.
So that verse is a powerful. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. And we can take that example even when, or like you say, what happened with you last week, or what happened with any of us in the past where we got upset behind what somebody said, or behind what somebody did, or their gestures, or whatever. And we can be the better man or the better woman And not let the flesh get in the way, but speak comfortably to them and tell them what they said was actually wrong, because you know me and you know me not to be that way. That's right. The same thing Jesus spoke to them, that their sin is open now, it's named now, and it should have that person or persons to not do that again. That's what Jesus is saying. So you try to point out what's wrong so that people will know. That's called witnessing, without trying to put people down, but trying to talk calmly, beautifully, to people, to try to keep them hearing you and still listening to you without putting them down, but giving them a word that will convict their soul for the things they've done, even ourselves, when we speak to ourselves. But yeah, that is a powerful scripture right there.
That's right. Thank you, Elder.
Hey, Minister Tolbert, great, great lesson. I just want to chime in real quick. What you're saying is really spot on, and I kind of had to go through the same thing. And what I've learned is practicing, you know, that scripture right there is the scripture we're supposed to practice. But what we do, well, I'm not going to say we, what I do a lot of times is I remember, and it runs in my head, what upset me over and over again, and I can't never get to that scripture to let it go. And I guess the best way to break down real quick is if you ever went to a football, baseball game, a professional game, you can always look up at the mm-hmm. scoreboard to see the replay. And you just keep seeing the replay, and you get real hyped over the replay. But if you're practicing and you do something real good on the practice field, you don't get to see the replay. You just know you did a good job.
That's right.
You just keep it moving. You don't focus on the replay. And a lot of times with me, I focus on the sin or what upset me over and over and over again. And then because I'm in the flesh, I can't ever get into the spirit to let it go. So that's why when we put up boundaries, it's because we're looking at it in a natural sense and not in a spiritual sense. We know this stuff is going to come, but we have to practice what we preach and not look at the replay of what offended us. That's all I got, Doc. Good lesson. Good lesson.
That was good. That was good.
That was real good.
I would also like to say, sin can no longer be hid. Once you start exposing sin, that's where the conflict come in a lot. And if we start exposing it, there's going to be conflict. And once we start walking in Christ, I mean, we're going to have conflict anyway, because most people want to live in their sin and don't want to be confronted. But we have to continue to live and let our light shine. But we will have the opportunity, you know, to confront it and let people know, you know, that it is wrong. And we have to have the Holy Ghost boldness to step up to what's right and what's wrong. And a lot of people are not going to take it well. Well, you remember when you used to do this. Well, I'm no longer that person. That's why I can come to you in love.
That's right. Because, you know, it should be a difference. Like you're saying, you're no longer that person. The evidence should show that in your life, in your lifestyle, that you're no longer who you used to be. Meaning whether it be, you know, minor changes in attitudes or how quickly something would get you going and get you to the point of where, you know, you're ready to do something to somebody and, you know, you get that calmness that comes from the Lord, you know, that's some of the signs of growth. And that's what we're trying to achieve, just trying to continue to have that growth in Christ, not to be on the same level, be stagnant, be on the same page as we were a month ago, a year ago. You always have to elevate and go to the next level. And sometimes it's easier said than done. This situation that I spoke about was one of those. And I definitely felt like, you know, I was, you know, continuing to move forward. And I'm like, whoa, well, I just got blindsided out of nowhere. But I didn't handle it accordingly. And my wife was proud of the way I handled it. But I say, you know, I'm still upset at that time. Not no more. I'm still upset. So I was like, don't be proud yet, you know, until it's actually over with, because I wasn't at the time. But that's where, you know, the Lord came in and took over the situation. So that's where it's always progress. No matter where you think you are in Christ, don't ever get the big head. Don't ever feel like I got it. Don't ever feel like certain things can't affect you, because I can say that this came out of nowhere, and I didn't feel like that anyway. But I didn't feel like, you know, I was anywhere in the Lord or anything. But at the end of the day, it just came out of nowhere, you know, when you're minding your own business. So those are the things that we have to deal with, but we have to use these as a stepping stone, a teaching moment, something that we can look back on and help our brother or sister with when they go through the same thing, because nothing new under the sun. I'm not the first or the last person to have somebody talk bad about you and take it even, you know, further than you ever dreamed that somebody would. And, you know, so it's life. But what happens is we have to be there for each other. So thank all of y'all for every comment on tonight. Back
and
to,
I would like to encourage you also, Minister Tobert. The word said you can be angry but sin not.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's right.
We will get angry, but we don't have to sin in our anger. We will get upset in this walk, but we don't have to sin. We don't have to cuss nobody out. We don't have to slap nobody. But, you know, you can be angry but sin not.
That's right. That's right. And that scripture crossed my mind as well, because that is kind of what happened, being angry, but, you know, not sinning. I did get very upset, though. Very. Very. I can laugh about it now. But verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. 23-24. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Jesus came and did many signs and wonders during his time on earth, things that no one else did. He healed the sick, raised the dead, caused the blind to see, made the lame walk, fed thousands with just fish and bread. Even though folks saw all of this, all of his works, some still hated Jesus. But by rejecting the Son, they rejected the Father also, because they are equal. So if folks rejected Jesus, then you already know they're going to reject us too. Because remember, the servant isn't greater than his Lord. So if they'll do it to Jesus, just remember, they'll do it to us. Verse 25. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. All these things had to happen to fulfill what was written. Jesus came to fulfill the law and do what we could not do. He is our Lord and Savior and the perfect example of being a Christian. He suffered persecution first, and greater persecution than we face. He was rejected, and all of this was done without a cause. For Jesus had no sin in life, but took on our sins and nailed them to the cross and shed his blood for us. Now, before I go into when I get ready to close, I'm going to open the floor for comments. Before I go any further, any comments on that?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Okay. So when we look at this verse, go ahead.
Yeah, so by him saying he came to fulfill the law, and you beautifully stated it, this had to happen. For God had foreknowledge of what would happen to his Son. He knew that the people would kill his Son. He knew that the people would hate his Son. He knew that the people that sinned against his son, he knew that he had foreknowledge of that, right? So that's why Jesus mentioned it was written in the law that they hated me without a cause. And if we could just only know what our life is going to be like, if we could just only know what's up ahead, you know, how would we react in the present before what's ahead come to us, right? We can't do that because it would change our present circumstances, knowing that the future is going to be a certain way. And the only thing we know about our future, that if we believe in the name of Jesus Christ, that we'll be with him for eternity. That's the only thing we know. But we don't even know our next step. That's why we got to stay in our lane and read our word. And Jesus said it would come to pass because it was written in the law, and he had to fulfill the law. That's what he came to fulfill. So he knew what was going to happen to him. So he was still in obedience to God when God sent him in the flesh of man to redeem man or reconcile man back onto him. God knows each and every one of us. He has set a lane for us to be in, and if we would stay in our lane, we're going to have some issues. We're going to have some trials and tribulations, but if we stay in our lane, we got all the ammunition we need to fight against the wiles of the devil. And I think you mentioned earlier about this just came out of the blue. Nothing comes out of the blue, Minnesota. It may not have been recognized when it happened, but it happened before. And how did you handle it when it happened before? And sometimes we get retested. And I'm not saying that's your purpose or that's what happened to you, but it can happen to where what I can't understand is we see things coming. We know what it's going to be about, and we fight against it. Or we argue with it, or we curse with it, or we sin about it, and we see it coming. The things that we don't see coming is just another step in your faith, another step in believing, another step to be on than where you were. But it was always there. It just presenting itself at this time because it's a time to take another step in faith and God and believing and treating everybody right as we want to be treated. But great lesson, great subject, great scriptures. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I just want to add on a little bit what the rabbi was saying, because he makes a good point. And I think, I'm saying, and if I'm wrong, I know I'll get corrected. But a lot of times when a situation comes and he says out of the blue, maybe it's not out of the blue, but sometime a situation would arise and we're not in our spiritual mind, we're in the flesh. And I'm not saying that that's what happens, but sometimes the flesh and the spirit is battling each and every day with each other within us. And sometimes something will come up and we're in our flesh and not even knowing it, we'll go with the situation because we're not having that spiritual mind. Sometimes our spiritual mind go on a break because we're around fleshly people. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And sometimes we can get caught up. It's like getting caught up in a conversation about a sport or something you really enjoy, and next thing you know, your language is like their language. Even though you're not a part of that life, that conversation got you in the flesh when we ought to be spiritual-minded. That's just my take on that, because I don't believe anything's ever come out of the blue. But when I look at over my life and I look at how did I get in this situation, I got sucked into it. I'm acting out of my flesh, not out of my spirit. And then when you're trying to be out of your spirit, like you said, you got that text during Bible study. That's not a coincidence why it came during Bible study, because now you're in your spirit mode, not in the flesh mode. That's all I got to say.
Good. That's good.
Spot on. And again, title of the lesson and the theme pretty much of what we've been talking about is understanding of hate. And I'm going to go over 25 and key in on that latter portion. But this comes to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. That part right there, they hated me without a cause. A lot was done to Jesus without a cause. And there's two cross-reference scriptures pertaining to just that sentence at the end, they hated me without a cause. We got Psalms 35 and 19. You can look at that one as your leisure. Psalms 35 and 19. One I will go over just briefly. Psalms 69 and 4. And it says, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. Meaning sometimes we might have more haters than we can count. All for no reason at all. And the evidence of this comes from another scripture. 2 Timothy 3 and 12. Yea, in all that we live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So this ain't just happened by mistake, but it comes with the territory of being a Christian and living a holy lifestyle. But I can't end a lesson without bringing you some good news about what we go through as Christians. We're going to turn to Mark 10:28-30. And I'll read Mark 10:28-30. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or land for my name's sake in the gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. In other words, nothing that we gave up to get to this point and beyond was in vain. For Jesus will pay us back 100 times now and in eternal life for all that we go through as Christians. So just know that even though it may get tough for us, we can rest assured that God has special blessings waiting for us just for us going through our persecutions and choosing him as our Lord and Savior, proving that he is, there is no one like him, and he will take care of us forever. God bless you. Everyone stay strong in this daily fight and this daily struggle that we call life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Wow.
That was
wow.
Hey, Ben, Stan, you want to add something?
I do. Wow, Minister Tobert, that was an awesome way to end this lesson. I mean, just a reminder. I just want to say, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I was just listening when Elder Bluett said, stand in your lane. When the enemy comes in, we've got to stay focused on Christ and not the circumstance. Because when we're focused in on the circumstances, that's how we veer out of the lane. That's how we veer away from God. That's how we veer, from the things that we know we should be doing. Because I was looking back at your scriptures, John chapter 15, and I know we started with verse number 18. But if you don't mind, I just want to go up one verse to verse 17. And it says, these things I command you, that you love one another. Mm-hmm. And everything that we go through in this life, like the others were saying, it's no coincidence that it happened. It's no coincidence those things that have happened to us to sharpen us as disciples. Because those things are supposed to sharpen and strengthen us as disciples. Because when we're in that lane, we're reminded to go to the Word of God, to go into prayer, to go into praise, to go into worship. No matter how devastating those things seen, keep your eyes straight ahead. You know, every now and then, I understand you got to look at those side mirrors, you know, to see if anybody's coming up on beside you. But keep your eyes straight ahead. And that's what we have to do with the Word of God and with this walk as disciples. Keep your eyes on Christ. There are things, because the enemy, he's going to throw some things at us. You know, with the permission of God, he's going to throw those things at us so that we can remember, wait a minute, let me stay on my word. Let me see what the word says. And the word says to love one another. And the things that fall under that is forgiveness and grace and mercy and peace and joy and self-control. And what you did, you did show some self-control, probably because the things you wanted to say didn't come out of your mouth. They may have thought floated around in your head, but they didn't come out of your mouth. So you showed some self-control, and that's one of the things as a disciple. I have to go back to when Elder Oliver talked about discipleship being teachable, and that's one of the things as a disciple, we have to show self-control. And we have to get before God and give it to him. Give him that pain. Give him that hurt. Give him that way that you feel. You know, don't let the devil get the victory by getting you out of yourself now in this walk with Christ. And the way you just ended that with Mark, praise be unto God. Everything that we go through in this life, this walk that we have, and we said it in the scriptures a few weeks ago, we don't want to go before God and he said, you wicked servant. We want to go before God and he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thank you for this lesson.
Right.
Awesome lesson. Awesome. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
God be the glory.
Got one comment. One comment.
Yes,
I've been speaking much tonight, but one comment. You taught this thing line upon line and precept upon precept, and you gave the human side to relate to it so that we can understand the Word of God and spirit. Therefore, the way you've done it, and the comments from the panel, I have no questions. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I have a comment as well. I just want to say I love it. I love it. And I encourage you to stay connected at verse 1-5. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth it. So right now you're just being pruned, sweetie. It may bring forth much more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word. Okay, you are clean through the world, which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. So you got to stay connected. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abide in me, and I in him, the same there bringeth forth much fruit.
Much fruit,
for without me, ye can do nothing.
Nothing.
Stay connected.
Nothing.
I love it. I love you. And believe me, you will bring forth much fruit. You're getting closer and closer to what God has for you. And if you just stay connected, baby, you ain't seen nothing. The sky is the limit for you. Love you.
Come on, that's good. That's good. Young Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
Oliver, would you like to add anything before we get ready to close, sir?
No. I mean, pretty much the way you dropped the mic, that's enough. I mean, he did a great job, and it helped me because I got to keep practicing what the word says. So, no, he did a great job, Minister. I appreciate it, learned a lot, and learning as we go forward. So I just appreciate what you said and everything from what the panel said as well.
You know, I've heard a word mentioned a lot in the last 2 or 3 weeks with whoever was teaching, and I hear the word practice quite a few times when it comes to whatever we're doing for the Lord. And I think that's key. We get into a habit of doing the good things for the Lord. And that strengthens us. That's just like when you work out, when you go running or you lifting weights or doing isometric exercises, you know, the consistency of it helps build you up. You may not see things right away going on in your body, but as long as you stay consistent, you know, and doing something on a regular basis, that's when you start to see the change in your body physically. Same way spiritually. If we're doing something every day for the Lord, it strengthens us in our mental capacity. It strengthens us in our spiritual capacity, and it keeps us connected to the Lord. And it doesn't have to be the same thing every day, but it has to be something that lines us up with what the Lord is saying and the Lord is talking to us, you know. And Minister Tober, just you know, be encouraged. And everybody that's listening tonight to our panel and everybody that's listening all over the world here in the United States and our PTC family that's listening, we just want everybody to be encouraged tonight. And hopefully you learn something from the spoken word tonight through Minister Tober that God gave him witness to speak the word. And, you know, so hopefully some things was confirmed in us, and we heard something that pricked our hearts and said that, yeah, I've been in that situation before, you know, and it reminded you how did you handle it. So I just like to, you know, encourage everybody to continue to press on in the things of God, continue to do the will of God. Ask the Lord Jesus to give you an ear to hear what his spirit is saying to your spirit and an eye to see what's going on all around us, because we're living in a dark and dying world, and the world is really going through a lot of things. So we just have to be careful and mindful how we deal with people. And like Evangelist Stanton was saying, you know, we got to love each other. Love covers a multitude of sin. And we got to love each other, look out for each other. And love is an action word. So we just got to continue to keep that in mind as well. And Evangelist Stanton, do you have any praise requests or prayer requests from the email?
Yes, thank you, Elder Taylor. We do have a request that came in last week. From, I'll just say, Alex. Alex said that his sister has been on her job for 42 years, and now another company is getting ready to buy their company out, and she's afraid that they're just going to come in and sweep the whole department, and she is not retirement age as of yet. She has 3 more years before retirement age, and she is afraid that she's going to lose her job and any other benefits because of this.
Okay.
And that's Alex, our only request. Mm-hmm. Alex, yes.
Okay. You know, we like to encourage everybody to continue to use our email for prayer requests and praise reports. If you got a praise report you'd like to shout out and give out, and you'd like to share with everybody, use the email to do that as well. And that email is PTC, P for Praise, T for Tabernacle, C for Christ, PTC4, Christ. So the email is PTC4Christ@gmail.com. And you don't have to give your whole name. You just give your initials or whatever you like to give, and let us know where you're from as well. We like to get an idea where you're emailing us from, whether it be here in the United States or over in London or the Bahamas or Germany, wherever you are. You know, we like to have an idea where you're listening from. So just be encouraged to use that email at any given time. And like I said again, for praise reports and for prayer requests. And so we just want to we're going to pray. If there be nothing else, we're going to prepare to dismiss. All right. So Lord, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor, Lord God. We magnify your name. We pray that the word had free course tonight, and that someone got something from your word spoken through Minister Tobert, Lord God. And we pray that everyone that listened will be blessed in the upcoming week, that you protect us, keep us safe, be a hedge of protection around all of your people all over the world, all over the land, Lord God. Give us a heart and mind and soul to continue to seek your face and to worship you and to love you and give you glory, Jesus. And give us the strength, Lord God, to fight against the enemy and the tricks of the enemy. Help us to understand and read your word more and more each and every day, Lord God. Pray that your Holy Ghost power operates through each and every one of your children that say that they love you. And we just want to love you, Lord God, and thank you for all that you've done, all that you're going to do, and that you're creating us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. And we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for who you are, Lord God, and what you do. You know, and Lord God, we just want to pray that you will continue to restore, revive, renew Minister Tobert and the words that he's spoken tonight, Lord God, that the enemy would not come and try to attack his mind, body, or soul because of what he spoke today, Lord God, and his family as well, that you continue to cover his family and every panel member, Lord God, that's on tonight, Lord God, and that you protect our families, Lord God. Keep the heads of the house safe and the wives safe, Lord God, and the family and the children safe, Lord God. But we love you. We give you glory. We give you honor, Lord God. We touch and agree for our pastor, Bishop Omar Zachary, and his wife, Lady Zachary, and their family, Lord God, that you continue to touch them moving forward, Lord God, and be a hedge of protection and covering over the whole church of Praise Tabernacle Church, Lord God. And everyone that's listening all over the land, all over the world, Lord God, that you would touch them as well, Lord God. And as before we leave this place, our Great Commission scripture is Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. God bless you all, and we look forward to hearing from you the next time. You are dismissed.